Hi, and welcome back to the Practical Rambling Fathers. My name is Father Tate.
I'm Father Brian.
And today's topic, we're going to look at how Jesus is fulfillment of the prophecies looking through the lens of St. John the Baptist.
So we're going to get to the question of who is John the Baptist and why is he important for the announcement of the Messiah. So there's a few different scripture verses that we're going to jump in and out of here. And I'm going to have Father Tay be mostly the reader of that. So one of the first things that we want to bring about is places are very important to the Old Testament mind, to the biblical mind, where things happen to have a substantial reason why it's happening there. And so to go way all the way back to Genesis, in Genesis, we already have kind of locations of where things are going on in the valley, in the Jordan Valley, River Valley. So, Father Tay, you want to bring that about?
Sure. So this is the story of how Abraham lets his servant Hagar go because Sarah got jealous when Hagar bore Abraham's son Ishmael, and so they had to send them away. And so this is, and that, so this is the topic of why they got to the place of Beersheba.
So chapter 21.
Yep. So chapter 21, and we'll begin with verse verse 8, and I'll read to verse 14. And a child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, playing with her son Isaac. So she said to Abraham, "Cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not be heir with my son Isaac." And the thing was very displeasing to Abraham on account of his son. But God said to Abraham, "Be not displeased because of the lad and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you, for through Isaac shall your descendants be named, and I will make a nation of the son of the slave woman also, because he is your offspring." So Abraham rose early in the morning, and took bread and a skin of water, and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder along with the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba.
So the wilderness of Beersheba is kind of the Jordan River Valley, and so that's between the Galilean Sea and the Dead Sea as we know them today. So it's quite a broad stroke of land that is pretty flat and actually farmable. Most of Israel is hilly, and if you look at a geography, topographical map, you can definitely see that. And this would be, I mean, the Jordan River Valley is kind of how Nazareans came back and forth from Nazareth and Capernaum up in the north to Jerusalem more in the south. So that's the location. That's where she is wandering about, and that means that was where Abraham was and Isaac. So if we remember from our last podcast, we had all those different empires come through. We had this golden statue, we had these creatures in the ocean, and this the Nebuchadnezzar statue in Daniel 2 and 7 fulfilled in 9. Jesus Christ is this rock, and it was 7 times 7. So 490 years, and this man is in the desert. So what does the man in the desert say, Father Tay? Where are another location thing? So this is where John the Baptist is being seen.
Yes, so then we move from Genesis then to the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapters 9, verse 1. "But there will be no gloom for her that was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations." I'll read a little bit more. It says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. and those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shined.
So the spot that the John the Baptist is born is on Kerem, what we call it today, which is near the location. But he's in this land of darkness, and we can see that in the pagan world, but we can also see that in our own lives and in our own time of how the Lord brings light to us in darkness and the land of gloom. So what other Isaiah prophecies are fulfilled?
Sure. We move on to Isaiah chapters 40, verses 3-5. It continues to talk about how Isaiah really says there will be a prophet, there'll be a forerunner that will talk and point the way to Jesus Christ. We don't know who his name is, but these are the predictions. So in Isaiah chapters 40, verse 3-5, it says, "A voice cries, 'In the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.'"
So again, the fulfillment of the Lord coming through John the Baptist, and John the Baptist being in the right place at the right time, preparing the way of the Lord. All right, one last one from Isaiah 62, chapter 62, 1-12.
Yep. It says, "For Zion's sake I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until her vindication goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication, and all the kings your glory. And you shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall be no more be termed desolate. But you shall be called, 'My delight is in her,' and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a virgin, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. Upon your walls, O Jerusalem, I have set watchmen. All the day and all the night they shall never be silent. You who put the Lord in remembrance, take no rest, and give him no rest, until he establishes Jerusalem and makes it a praise in the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his mighty arm, I will not again give you your grain to the food of your enemies, and foreigners shall not drink your wine, for which you have labored, but those who garner it shall eat it and praise the Lord, and those who gather it shall drink it in the courts of my sanctuary. Go through the gates, prepare the way for the people, build up the highway, clear it of stones, lift up an ensign over the peoples. Behold, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the earth. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. And they shall be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken."
So this is God's promise to his people, Israel, and drawing that all the way back from the prophet Isaiah. So Israel was really looking for this Messiah to come about at the time of Jesus' birth, and to bring the two kind of two or three together, readings even from Genesis, we see that St. Paul picks up in Galatians and in Romans and in the book of Hebrews, and I'll read you some of those things, that now that Christ has come, what does that mean for us? So this is Galatians chapter 4, 21. An allegory on Christian freedom. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and the other by a freeborn woman. The son of the slave woman was born naturally, the son of the free, though, through a promise. Now, this is an allegory. These women represent two covenants. One was from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. This is Hagar. Hagar represents Sinai, a mountain in Arab. It corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery along with her children. But the Jerusalem above is freeborn, and she is our mother. For it is written, "Rejoice, you barren one who bore no children. Break forth and shout, you who were not in labor. For more numerous are the children of the deserted one than of her who has a husband." Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of the promise. But just as the children of the flesh persecute the children of the spirit, it is the same now. But does the scripture say, "Drive out the slave woman and her son, for the son of a slave woman shall not share an inheritance with the son of the freeborn"? Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are children, not of the slave woman, but of the freeborn woman. So, again, seeing that fulfilled within what the Lord did for us. So now, jumping back into the Old Testament, we'll read another prophecy.
Yes. So this came from the book of Malachi. He's a Mayan prophet, and he predicts of a coming messenger. So this is chapter 3, verse 1. "Behold, I send my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant to whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts."
So that is one of the books always be vigilant for what the Lord is doing. Always look for what the Lord's doing in our midst. And so to be looking forward to Christmas and what the Lord is doing and what he did do through his son. So now we're just going to briefly jump into the gospel, how all this is fulfilled. And it's believed to be Luke's gospel has so much Marian in it that it's most likely that Mary, John, and Luke lived in the city of Ephesus, now up in Turkey, after the crucifixion for a time. And so as she was aging, she continued to tell stories of the Lord and what it was like to be the mother of God. So the Christmas story that we know and love of the Nativity is from Luke's Gospel, is one of the reasons why we read Luke's Gospel every year. So Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, 57 through 80, all these things are mentioned in there. "He will go before him in spirit and the power of Elijah." And then we have the succession of Elisha succeeds Elijah at the Jordan River in 2 Kings chapter 2, 6 through 14. Okay. And in Malachi, I'm sending you the Elijah the prophet, the land under destruction, which is chapter 3, 22 through 24. So within the Gospel of Luke, very quickly, we have again the location of where Elijah is going to be, which is why when Jesus asks, "Who do you say that I am?" it comes back to, well, we think you might be Elijah or Elisha because you came back from the same place that they were at. So this river, Jordan River Valley. And then we have the fulfillment of all of this is the canticle of Zechariah, which is chapter 1, 57 through 80. So this canticle of Zechariah proclaiming everything that the Lord
was going to do,
is going to do, has been doing, and is about. So, all right, lastly, what is it that we are preparing the way for in the New Testament in 1 John? Beloved, let us love one another, because love is of God. Everyone who loves is begotten by God and knows God. And then in Galatians, my children, for whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed you in you. So to love and to do what we will, as St. Augustine would say, if we know what that means. Mm-hmm. And then children, and then to have Christ formed in us. So the so what, or more to turn to the practical application of all of this Bible study that we quickly did here. Mm-hmm. The so what. John the Baptist is the one that prepared the way for the Lord. He is the, he and Jesus and John the Baptist fulfill a whole bunch of the Old Testament characters, but ultimately it is Jesus he points to. I must decrease, he must increase. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And then also we could get into the baptism of the Jordan, which happens in the Jordan River Valley, obviously, in the Jordan. And baptism only happens once through John, also for us in the church. So spiritual reflections. What did John the Baptist say? Repent and believe.
And the gospel.
So
the kingdom of God is at hand.
Right. Prepare the way of the Lord. So mm-hmm. a continual conversion for us to return to the Lord, to have him obliterate our sins in confession, and to have us live in the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. Mm-hmm. To literally change, repentance means to literally change one's minds towards God, so putting him first in everything, so it's a renewal of mind, as St. Paul would say. Mm-hmm. To live within the identity Jesus died for us to have mm-hmm. as beloved children. To go to battle with sin in our lives so that we can live in the way, the truth, and the life with the Lord's grace to set us free from our sins. To be more loving and more concerned with others than with ourselves. What does this mean for us today? A continual conversion of life. And also just the challenge to grow in our intellect about our faith, to have more than a sixth grade understanding of God is good and I'm good and that's great. That's all I need to know.
No,
there's 2,000 years of that.
Yeah.
Evil one will get in there and mess that up.
Correct.
To dive deep into the depths of 2,000 years of trying to wrestle with the reality of God becoming man. And what that means, and that's why I love St. Paul's letters. It's like he's the first one at it. Like the Gospels weren't even written, and he's like, well, what's possible now that God's become one of us? So, any takeaways out there, Father Tay?
There's a lot, especially during the Advent season. I know it's a very joyous time. So, of course, all your kiddos are all wanting to decorate the house, all the cooking, the baking. That's beautiful. It really is. But my challenge for you is kind of what Father Brian is saying, is how are you preparing the way of the Lord? Could you do all those holiday preparations with God and in God? And I know that's something we don't talk about a lot, because we often think about having a relationship with Jesus is either restricted to quiet actual prayer time, or it's at the church, which is all true. But if we really love Jesus, and if we love the ones that we want to spend time with, we constantly immerse ourselves with them. So as you're preparing for this upcoming holiday, for the arrival of Christ and his birthday on Christmas, use this time to really prepare. Instead of being impatient of all the preparation, saying, Lord, help me to be more loving. You came in the worst time ever. Right? John the Baptist, you were all alone. Everyone thought you were weird. But how did you persevere in fulfilling this? You know, and so that's my encouragement for all of you who are listening. How can I bring Christ into my home? How can I bring Christ into my life?
And lastly, if you're curious about all the prophecies that the Lord fulfilled and all those, you just Google search the prophecies that the list of prophets fulfilled by Jesus from the Old Testament. It's actually pretty fascinating. There's a website that we're looking at that's got 68 of them. It's cool. I think it's great. And there's another one that's got 44 of them on there. And there's a book that's like $10 that you can get the 50 prophecies. So, So anyways, thanks for listening to us. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Until next time.
Stay holy, my friends.